his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree. Now watch carefully. Two or three berries in the top of the uttermost bow, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and the word maker's capitalized. His eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altars, the works of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or in the images. Verse 9. And in that
day.
Three times you find that word in that day. Shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bow, and the uttermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Now look in verse 10. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and thou shalt set it with strange slips. Verse 11. And in that
day.
Now four times he keeps repeatedly using the word in that day. Thou shalt make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed be flourished. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Lord Jesus, thank you for safeguarding the highways. And Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning. Lord, when I'm weak, Lord, then I'm made strong. God, I pray that, Lord, like John of old, may I decrease and may he increase. Lord, I believe there's no wasted motion. Lord, from the depths of my heart, thank you for these men that have come. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd give them a special blessing. Take care of their families. And then, Lord, all of the prayer requests that was made this morning. God, you know the heart of every person in this building. You know the need of every one of us. Now I pray, Spirit of God, come and breathe upon us. Set a guard at my lips. May I not say anything, do anything that would be contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. And then, Lord, I sure don't want to be ashamed when I stand before you. So I pray, set that guard and let me, Lord, preach the unsearchable riches. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, if you look in the word, if you don't mind writing on the flyleaf of your Bible, he's in that day. Now, I believe this. I believe we're in the final days. I believe that with all of my heart. These final days are upon us. And then there's these fearful days. I just came out of Roanoke Valley in Roanoke, Virginia. That's about a seven or eight hour drive from my house. And every day I'd get up where I was staying at, they give me a paper. You cannot believe the raping, maiming, shooting, killing, stabbing, house burnings. I mean, these are the most fearful days I've ever seen in my life. Not only final days, but then there's fearful days. Then there's another day. These future days. Miss Kathy sang a moment ago, boy, I'm so glad, thank God, these are future days. What I mean by that is, we that are saved, we have the blessed hope, amen. That sure hope, a steadfast hope, that when our Savior comes, and thank God he's going to come, he'll right all the wrongs. But that's not what I want you to see. I wish I could spend time just on those days. But what I want to show you is those two or three berries in the top of a tree. That's found, if you look in your Bible, back up in verse 6. Everything intrigues me about the Bible. You can't dig it all out of there. But it says two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bow, and four or five in the outmost fruitful branches. And then it says, therefore saith the Lord God of Israel. Why, Brother Sisson? Well, in that, it's talking about the prophet of God. It's talking about leanness, and he's talking about unthankfulness. He says there's two or three berries. They would take these big, I've been to Israel, they'd take these big long sticks, and they'd knock those, they didn't climb them, they'd take those big long sticks and knock them like this and shake them out of there. Well, he brings up, and he says there's two or three berries in the top of the utmost boughs. Well, if I really believe this, and I believe the leanness and unthankfulness, why the unthankfulness? Why the leanness? Well, drop down to verse 10, please. Because thou hast forgotten the Lord God of thy salvation. Now, let's don't argue. Let's don't throw no fits down here. But America has forgotten God. The psalmist said in Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked and the nations that forget God should be turned into hell. Now, as a way of introduction, what do you mean, Brother Sisson? I believe we are what I call a self-sufficient generation. This is the most narcissistic self-generation I've ever seen. It's all about me. They don't care about God. They care about me. It's my job, my car, my this, I did this. They only care about themselves. That same mentality has got over in our churches. Amen, Brother Sisson. What do you mean, preacher? That any more people, I beg, you got to know me. I'll get down on my knees. I'm tired of divorce. I'm tired of seeing homes desecrated. I'm tired of seeing children's hearts broken. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of dealing with it one-on-one. But I believe this all in my heart. When you deal with people, and I'm talking about supposedly saved people, and 90% of their problems is because self is on the throne of their life. And when self is on the throne of your life, I can't do anything with you. Even God Himself, until you get self off the throne of your life, I can't or nobody else can do anything with you. But you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You don't know. And it's all about how they feel. You see, here's what goes through my mind. When you go back and check it out, think about the Lord Jesus. Bless His name. Hung, bled, and died. Don't y'all think He ever suffered? Don't you think the pain that was inflicted in His body? He was the most selfless individual I ever met. I mean, thank God, the Bible, Jesus cared about others, amen. Well, I begin to put it in my mind, why the leanness, why the unthankfulness in our soul? If verse 10 says, because thou hast forgotten one, they've forgotten that their help came from God. We've done the same thing. I'm talking about, we don't get on our, I told somebody the other day, wouldn't it be wonderful, Don, wouldn't it not be wonderful if we had a Supreme Court justices and we had a president and we had congressmen and legislators and then we got what we call a Senate chaplain? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they got on their knees and said, God, help us, amen. Yeah, amen. Instead of running off more money. Yeah. I got happy coming down here. I was told I'm going to get me a bailout check. I didn't know I was going to get me a bailout check, but I'm happy. Amen. Don't y'all think I need one? I'm looking at you, Doc. I didn't know that. Well, some of y'all need a bailout or something, boy, I'm telling you. But I mean, look here. They had forgotten their help came from God. Our churches have forgotten that. Then secondly, write this down, Father. They've forgotten their humble beginning. Hey, God had brought them from out of Egyptian bondage. Amen. And God had miraculously took care of Israel, and God is miraculously taking care of us. But we've forgotten that our help comes from God, and we've forgotten also our humble beginnings.
You're right.
I love this. I love it. I ain't talking to him. I'm talking to Brother Jay. How many of y'all remember what y'all started housekeeping with? Would y'all raise your hand? Come on, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand up there. Well, I am now. If you're just like me, you didn't have nothing. Amen. Would y'all let me tell you something? I was 18. Mary was 16. And they gave us a household shower. I don't know if they still do that or not. But I'm talking about 18-year-old, 16-year-old, and people in that community gave us a household shower. I never forget how humble I was. I never forget that strange people that I'd never met before in my life that would bring us household gifts. Pots, pans, things that we needed to set up housekeeping. What I'm saying is the same way. I don't ever want to forget that. Say amen to me. I'm saying the same way that Israel forgot their help came from God. They forgot their humble beginning, and we've done the same thing. The third thing, let me show you this. Not only that, they'd also forgotten that their hope had to be in God alone. I told somebody, not trying to start no war down here, my hope ain't in no Democrat Party. My hope ain't in no Republican Party. My hope is not in the Independent Party. Say amen right there. Thank God I have a blessed hope. Amen. And my hope's in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And thank God He's going to come and get us out of here. Amen. I ain't preaching yet. Y'all about to die. Go back, look in your mouth. My life has become so full that guess what? I find it empty. I find so many people, and I want to go back and let me show you, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, we don't occupy with what I call the right things. Amen. The same way Israel, I'm saying, I believe prayer is important. Amen. I believe praying is important. I believe attending the house of God is important. Amen. I believe witnesses is important. Amen. I believe, thank God, worship is important. Amen. Amen. I believe fellowship with the saints of God is important. I'm saying we don't occupy with what I call the things that we ought to be occupying in. Well, you mean that, brother, sister? We don't have time to fellowship anymore. Don't have time to come to the house of God. We got our business to think about. We got our farm to all this stuff. Amen.
You're right.
Say amen. Everybody's got PTA meetings and camp meetings and Boy Scout meetings and bowling leagues and every kind of thing in the world takes precedence over the house of God. I want to tell you something. Do y'all ever notice everything's always on Sunday? Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
They can't even have a family reunion anymore if it ain't on a Sunday. Mine don't even send me, an invitation anymore because I ain't going. Let me tell you why. I love my family, but I'm going to tell you, I am not going to stay out of church. I'm not going to miss a meeting to go to a family reunion and have the thing on Saturday. Say amen. Yeah. And I'll tell you another reason why they don't invite me. I tell my nieces to put clothes on. And I tell my uncles, I say, quit bringing liquor to the family reunion, amen.
Right.
Yeah, good.
They don't even ask me to pray anymore. I preach about 30 minutes. But I'm saying we don't occupy with what I call the right things, amen. Don't you think that I believe a job's important? But I'll tell you something more important than that is be right with God. Say amen right there. We've forgotten our houses. We got our careers to think about. We got our houses. We got our jobs. We got everything under God's green earth, and everything seems to be dragging us away. I'm saying the reason why the leanness and the unthankfulness is because we don't occupy with what's important. Amen.
Right.
Number two, write this down for me. We don't identify with it. I believe this all my heart. I believe if you're saved, blood washed, I believe you ought to identify with spiritual things. Say amen to me. I'm going to get me a recorder, play me 19 amens back. I'm saying to identify with what's important. I got to tell y'all this. Talking about identity. Some of these men have been where I preached at. They got a church, brother. I know Brother Junior and some of these men, down at Russell Springs, Kentucky. I've been there going there since 1974, every year of my life. They got a lady, her name is Mary. And Mary, she's had both hips replaced, elbows replaced. I mean, knees replaced. She is one bionic woman. And she's an elderly woman, but she loves God. Listen to this. I can preach, and she'll be the first one to come to the altar. Don't you think that it hurts her to get down on her knees off of a walker? Don't y'all think that that's bound to hurt that poor woman? She'll get down on her knees, and boy, you'll see big old tears running down her face. And she gave that church where that building's sitting, she gave them 5 acres of land. And God is my witness. She has got a path war from that house to that church house. And people will go up there and offer to bring her to church. She says, no, that's my church, and I'm going to walk down there, and I want them to see me go into the house of God. Now, you got it, but ain't that great? She'll tell everybody. She says, that's my church, and I want this neighborhood to know that when church time is there, I'm a-going, amen. There are people who go up there and pick her up. What I'm saying is we don't occupy with the right things. We don't identify with what's important. And thirdly, we're never satisfied. This is the most discontent generation I've ever seen in my life. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be what? Content. It's got to be learned. If they got a nice car, they want a nicer car. If they got a nice truck, they want a nicer truck. If they got a nice house, they want the nicer house. Amen. Oh, Lord, look at this. They're always, I'm talking about, it's our nature that we're just not satisfied. You have to learn it. Amen, sister. Have you ever just contemplated? Have you ever thought about it? I'm talking about being satisfied. Brother Junior, I'm sort of mad at him. Sort of, just sort of. Not altogether, just sort of. He has got a 100-year-old cabin in his front yard. Now, how many of y'all mad at him? Raise your hand. He's got a 100-year-old cabin, and he told my wife about it, and she wanted me to get it, and he went and got it. I told my wife, what do we need with a 100-year-old cabin? Put out in the front yard for everybody to look at. Junior, how many did they raise in that one-room cabin?
Ten.
They raised 10 children in a one-room cabin. Ask him. He's got it in his front yard. Neat old cabin. I love that old cabin. But they raised 10 children in a one-room cabin. No water, an outhouse, a path, one holder or two holder. But my point is, how would y'all like to know how they raised 10 children in a one-room cabin? Let's tell them, Junior. They put them what?
Feather tick
and put their feet down to the back, like this, like a row, put their feet down here and slip on the feather tick and raise 10 children. And one of them's a good preacher. Boy, I've got y'all's attention now. Ten children raised in a one-room cabin. And now then we've got 9,000 and 10,000 square feet house. We're losing our children. No time to fellowship. No time to pray. No time to teach them what's important in life. We're not satisfied with what's really important. I've got to show you this. Go back. Go to Isaiah with me. Look in your Bible. I thought about this business, pleasure, making a living, making money, material things, clubs, entertainment, all these little league things. I'm saying everybody's so in it. They think, and there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but I'm saying everything is taking place of God. Now watch this. Let me show you this. Then I thought about this. And notice in verse 10, please. Everybody look in verse 10. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Preacher, listen. So they had forgotten the God of their salvation. Verse 10 says, and thou hast not been mindful. I can imagine. This tears my mind up. Somehow or another, we think I can manage my own affairs. Somehow or another, we think I'm at the steering wheel of my life. I can steer my life. The older I get, I realize how little that you are at the steering wheel of your life. The older I get, the more I realize how you think you're in control of your life, but you're not. No. I want to show you this. Let's go back. Look in Isaiah, please. And I began to put it in my mind. I thought, what can we do? All right, these two or three berries at the top of a tree, if that signified leanness and unthankfulness, I thought to myself, may God help us not to get that way. We're going to have revival. Let's go back. I believe this with all of my heart. I want you to write this down. Do you ever just thank God? Do you ever just stop? Do you ever just say, God, thank you to know I'm saved? Do y'all ever do that? Amen. Do you ever just stop and say, God, thank you for saving me? Amen. Yes. Do you ever thank God for that day that you had a collision with the Holy Ghost of God? Do you ever just say, God, thank you for saving me?
Yes.
Boy, I got so blessed this past week. That man that got saved down at Roanoke, Virginia, God bless his heart, he fell on his knee. Well, I sort of got angry. I'm up there trying to give an invitation, and this man comes and wants to get saved, and this other man, he's supposed to be associate pastor, he looked up at me, and I'm a begging and pleading with people. He said, this man wants to get saved. I thought, well, why don't you win him to the Lord? That's what I'm thinking. No, and I thought, okay, all right, that's okay. I just done this right here. I stopped, got my Bible, got down and went into the Lord. Amen. I said, tell him what happened to you. He said, I just got saved. I said, thank God, hallelujah. And I told him, and let me say, I said, don't ever forget this night. Don't ever forget this night that you got saved, amen.
Yeah.
I said, don't let anybody rob you of that. Would y'all say amen to that? Do you ever thank God for your conversion experience?
Yeah.
By the way, he's been there every night. Ain't that a blessing? Boy, I bless his name. Let me go back. Now, how do you mean, Brother Sisson? For God loving us. Do you ever just say, God, thank you for loving me? And listen to this, how long-suffering God is putting up with us. Boy, I mean, God is long-suffering. Hey, Brother Noble. I was over preaching week before last. And this guy walked up to me, and his name is Mark Jones. He got just like this. He looked at me and he said, you don't look nothing like you did when you was a boy.
I thought,
dear God, I'm soon be 65 years old. No. Then he went on to say, he said, you frightened me. See, he was a kid. And I'm a lot older than him, and I was a hoodlum living on them streets. And he's over at Brother Travis's church. And you see, they always remember what you were. I was a drunk living on them streets. And I admit all that, and I'm sorry for that. Oh, but thank God. I'm glad, God, I had a conversion experience and God turned me around. Amen. Bless His name. There's an old song that says, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. You ought to thank God for your conversion experience. You ought to thank God for your companion in life. My wife was sitting last night on the porch. We drove all night long. We had company yesterday. Guys come over from Tennessee, and they didn't know I drove all night. That's all right. But we sat there on the porch, and I got them coffee, and we was talking, sitting on them double swings. And I got to thinking, and he asked me, he said, Brother Sister, how long y'all been married? I said, 46 years. Ain't that a blessing? Yeah. Most of them, dear God, don't last 44 days, let alone 46. I told him, if I go home and she's got the suitcase packed, I won't know where we're going. The other day, boy, me and her have a ball. Honest before God, I wish she was here. Only reason she's not is my granddaughter. Hello. Granddaughters take precedent over everything. We're sitting, and her and Kelsey get along so good. And me and Mary have a ball anymore. We're since the death of Nathan, we just have a ball with each other. We cut up and act a fool. First thing, she opens her eyes. She says, where's my coffee? I said, in the pot. Usually, I got it sitting beside her bed. Ain't I rotten? I got her spoiled. But I love it. I don't make no bones about it. I like it. She said the other day, she said, how come me and you don't fight anymore? I said, you want to? And I sat in there last night and I got to thinking, boy, I sure do thank God for my wife. Do y'all ever just thank God? Look here, can y'all imagine what it would be like to go home to an empty house? Can you imagine what it would be like to go home 24/7, sit at a table that you'd been with your wife or your husband for all of your life, and they're no longer there? The emptiness, the loneliness. Do you ever just thank God for your companion in life? Do you ever do that? Could your home not be tore all to pieces? Could you not have to bury somebody that you love? I got a preacher friend, his wife. In fact, me and Nathan, my youngest boy that got killed, this man was named Bob Meadows, and he was a mountain preacher. I was sitting on, just like right here, I was a preacher, and I seen that stroke hit him. Brother Larry, I seen that stroke that hit that preacher, and his whole face just pulled down. And I seen it when it hit him. I told the songwriter, I said, come up here. He started leading the singing. I went down and I undoed Bob's tie. And Nathan, my boy, and Bob was trying to tell me, he was trying to say words, and when you had a stroke, you can't say words. And his whole side was drawn down. I said, now, Bob, listen to me. I said, you're having a stroke. I said, just listen to me. Do what I tell you. My boy got on one side and we got on the other and we took him, put him in the car. And Bob, hey, his whole side of his face drawn and he's paralyzed on his left side. I run every red light in High Point, North Carolina. I got him in the emergency room. They took him straight back. And they said if it had been 10 minutes later, the repercussions would have been he would have never been it. And by the way, they give him the shot. And within a matter of hours, all of this had come back. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that a blessing? Thank God doctors can do that. So he had to stay in the hospital. He recovered all of this and went back to preaching, but his wife died. His wife died. Been married for 55 years. His wife died. So if you love people, you don't just turn it off and on like a water fountain. So I called him up and I said, Brother Bob, how you doing? He said, listen! I know what the world he was doing. But he had the phone stuck out like this. And he had a loaded gun and had the hammer pulled back on it. I didn't know what he was doing. He said, and he was crying. He said, I miss my wife so bad. He said, this loneliness is killing me. He said, Brother Sisson, he said, you don't know what it's like to live under a roof. And he said, your wife be gone. Brother Sisson, you don't know what it's like. And I told him, I said, Brother Bob, no, I don't know what it's like, but I said, Jesus does. Amen. I said, he said, I'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, Brother Bob. And boy, deep down inside of me, I knew something was dreadfully wrong. I said, Brother Bob, call your daughters. He had two daughters. I said, call your daughters. I said, before you call them, get on your knees and ask God to help you. Then call your daughters and ask them to come over. I knew he was in bad shape. But he had a loaded gun and was fixing to blow his head off. He told me that later on. Anyway, he's dead and in glory now. But he would tell me how that loneliness was killing him. She took his clothes and laid them out. Took his shirt and laid them out for him. Matched his tie with his clothes, with his suit. Laid his socks out, his underclothing. Paid every bill. He didn't even know what a bill was. She did all the accounting, did everything for him. She said, he told me, he said, Brother Sisson, it's just like I've lost a part of me. I said, well, Brother Bob, you have. Listen to me. Do you ever thank God for your husband? Do you ever thank God for your wife? How would you like to be single in this day and time trying to find a wife or a husband? Okay. You ought to thank God you never had to follow a coffin. Then the second thing, the third thing, I believe you ought to thank God for your children. A man walked up to me yesterday. I've known him for 30 years of my life. He said, Preacher, said, I need you to give me your phone number. I wrote my phone number down, and he said, Preacher, my boy is on drugs, and said, I need your help. Listen to this. Wealthy man spent everything he had on that boy. But you see, he forsaken God. He forsook God 30 years. All these years he's been out of church, worldly, building masses of money, building houses on lakes, and now his children's gone. Boy, you ought to thank God you never had to go to jail. Boy, you ought to thank God if your children ain't on drugs, you ought to jump up and have a spell, run around the building. Say amen. Amen. See, some of y'all have never seen a crack. You've never seen a crack addict. Some of y'all have never seen a heroin addict. You ought to see it one time, and just maybe that would make you appreciate more your children. Amen, sister. Do you ever just say, God, thank you? Do you ever do that? What causes unleanness? Well, what causes this, brother said? What causes the leanness and the unthankfulness? Two berries on the top of a tree. You ought to thank God for your conversion. You ought to thank God for your companion in life. You ought to thank God for your children. Hallelujah, thank God. As mean as mine is, I still thank God for them. You know why? Do you want to know why preachers' kids are so mean? They hang around them deacons' kids.
Is that what it is?
I have never had to go to jail and get one of my boys out of jail. I've never seen one of my boys with a cigarette hanging out their mouth. I've never seen one of them drunk. Boy, is that not something to be thankful for?
Yes, it is.
I know of a man right now. Their daughter, now you probably won't even agree with this, but she was so bad that he put her out of the house. He was so bad that he had to put her out. Kathy, she would steal everything. She even stole her mother's engagement rings to buy drugs. He said, Brother Sisson, it broke my heart, put my daughter out of my house. Could that not be your daughter? Do you ever just thank God for your children? Say amen to me.
Amen.
You ought to. Let me show you this. And then I believe you ought to thank God for your church. How? And I'm not talking about this building. Do you ever thank God for a good church? Amen. A good church. I mean a good church. A good church. I want y'all to get acquainted with these men. Talk to Brother Bill. Talk to Brother Bill Estes. That's the man in the green. Talk to Brother Bill about a good church. He'll be glad to talk to you about one. Amen. Do y'all ever thank God for a good organist, a good piano player? You ever, as sorry as that thing is, do you ever thank God for a good song leader? He ain't had a hug in so long. He knows I love him. Me and him cut up and act food all the time. But do you ever just thank God for somebody that can lead the singing? I know churches that don't have a song leader. I know churches that's got organists, they don't even have an organist. I know somebody that's got organs, they ain't got an organ player. I know churches that's got piano, but they ain't got a piano player. They told me that 14 churches in our county does not have pastors. You ever thank God for Brother Lawrence? Boy, you ought to. Because I'm telling you, they're so rare. Churches are getting so worldly. Game playing. Fence straddlers. That's fence straddler. Compromising. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I told somebody, a good church, thank God's worth the drive. Amen. I'd rather have one good meal as no meal. Churches on corners got good cars. Air-conditioned cars. Central heat in our cars. We've been in a good church in 30 minutes. Nobody, the average person don't think anything about driving 30 minutes to work. Good preaching, Melvin. But I mean, do you ever thank God for a good church that you can come in and you know what's going to be preached? They asked me, I said, sorry, a bunch we got out of the cars and want to know which Bible we was using today. Ain't that pitiful. See how they treat me, Jay? You ought not let them do that to me. I said, it's NIV day. The non-inspired version. Ain't that pitiful. But I'm saying, do you ever thank God for a good church? Say amen to me. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Could I tell you something? It could be that's the reason why your family's together. A good church is worth its weight in gold.
Amen.
A good church is a hedge.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Says, everybody all wants to dig my past up, dig my past up. I said, I ain't got no past. It's underneath the blood. And I tell them, if it had not been for God and me getting saved and getting in a good church, our home would probably be broke up. You ought to thank God. Say amen. You ought to thank God for your conversion. Thank God for your companion life. You ought to thank God for your children. You ought to thank God for your church. And let me tell you this one. Boy, you ought to thank God for the United States. You ought to thank God for our country. I go to these mission fields, and I come back and I say, thank God, hallelujah, to live in America with all of our problems. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about it? How many of y'all got freezers? Would you raise your hand? I want to come and visit you. Just kidding. Most of us have got freezers full of food. See, some of y'all have never seen little kids digging out of garbage cans. That's, I don't know how y'all feel, but it bothers me. Me with a freezer full of food and little kids' bellies out to here. Amen. Well, that's just coincidental, Brother Sisson. You know, to live in this country called America, you could have been born in Southeast Asia. You could have been born in the jungles of Uganda, and God let you be born in America. Do I fuss and gripe about our problems? Yes, I do. But I still thank God for this country called America. What, Brother Sisson, how can we stop this leanness in our souls? And how can we stop the unthankfulness? Ephesians 5, in everything, give thanks. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I got to tell you this, somewhere I got to quit. Did anybody outside of me, did you see the man that was mowing his yard? And he had bought him a bag catcher. And he was mowing the grass. He was so proud of that grass catcher. He said he bagged up all of his lawn clippings, and they've got a dumpster right there out. He said, just go out the gate, and there's a dumpster that everybody uses. He said, it's in the paper. He said he opened up the dumpster, said it was blazing hot, and said he was starting to throw in the grass clippings. And said all of a sudden, said this thing come over him to look inside that dumpster. He said he had never looked inside that dumpster. And he looked inside that dumpster, and there laid a little newborn baby. And it was hot, it's still alive. It's in the paper. Didn't y'all see that? He said immediately he climbed in the dumpster and got that little baby. And I'd say God has a special purpose for that little baby. Would y'all agree with that? And then I thought about this when I read that newspaper. It was the day that our Savior climbed in the dumpsters of this world. Woo! To get us out of the dumps, amen. Bless his wonderful name. Two berries on the top of a tree, four or five to the utmost. Boy, that's leanness. I want us to stand, bow our heads and close our eyes. God's found this nation. He's formed it. He's fashioned it. He's fed us miraculously. While the pianist and the song leader comes, I'm going to ask you all over the building, how many of you would come this morning and say, God, help me, Lord, just to be thankful. Come on. You shouldn't even have to be asked to come. God, please help me to be thankful. Lord, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart to know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Lord, I want to thank you for my companion in life. Lord, thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Lord, thank you for my job. Then I believe you ought to say, Lord, thank you for my children. If your children's in this auditorium, you ought to get out of your seat just in a moment after you pray and ought to go put your arm around your children. You children ought to thank God for your parents. As a husband and wife, a family that prays together stays together. There's something more important than material things or money. Two berries on the top of a tree speaks of leanness and unthankfulness. Then I believe you ought to thank God for your church. I believe you ought to thank God for your country. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Unashamedly this morning while she's playing softly, and you'd say, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Would you let us pray for you first and foremost. You're amongst friends and you say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up real high? I'm not saved. Anywhere in the building. Anywhere. Would you be honest with me this morning and say, Brother Sisson, I'm not as close to the Lord as I once was. Can we pray for you? Would you slip your hand up real high? Anywhere in the building, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. I want to occupy with what's important. I want to identify with what's important. Brother Sisson, I want to learn this thing called contentment. God bless her heart. Young lady, this could be a life-changing experience for you if you'll come this morning. God loves you. This world is not your friend. Young man, this world is not your friend. Hey, if your children's in this building, I want you to go put your arms around them. If your children's in this auditorium, go put your arm around them. Come on. Our Father, Lord, bless your wonderful name that you just care about us every phase of our lives. Lord, I pray that, God, you'd give us a meeting this week that would change our anemic lives. God, please stir our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help our nation, help our churches. God, I pray, even though they didn't raise their hands, Lord, there's probably people here this morning that's unsaved. Please, Lord, don't let them leave. Draw them and, Lord, break them. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help your people. Help us to see our help is to our hope. Everything's in you. Please help us. Bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. What page, brother?